KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, we talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Now, does this have to be the game where the offensive line for the Cowboys excels? And I don't mean like, hey, we would like to see that. I mean, the Falcons have an ineffective pass rush. They're dead last in the NFL in sacks. They brought down the quarterback just 6 times in 8 games. This feels like it needs to be a good showing for the offensive line, or else my concern level is going to go significantly.
It's going to skyrocket.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you mean they've got fewer sacks than the Cowboys?
Yes, they do.
How about that? Because all these other stats I started looking up, the Cowboys were like 30th, 31st, 32nd. I think that. And not only protecting Dak, but just opening up holes that running backs can run through, even undrafted free agents and guys drafted in the 5th and 6th round, right? Just open up holes that they can maybe hang on to the ball a little longer and be able to stay with the run a little longer to keep their defense off the field a little longer. And that might help and maybe even help keep them fresh towards the end of the game.
Now, we're all positive on this show, as you know, pretty much all of the time. And Dak Prescott's the first quarterback with multiple interceptions in 3 straight games for the Cowboys since Aikman in 92. So we have all determined.
You mean Aikman did that in 92?
That means we're going to.
And they won a Super Bowl?
That means we're going to win the Super Bowl. That is what we have all taken from that. Is it? I'm sure it's a combination of a lot of factors. The offensive line is obviously a big part of that. Do you think confidence at all plays into the Dak Prescott struggles, or is the struggle the rest of the offense? He's like, I got to try to make something happen.
Well, you can use confidence 2 ways, right?
Sure.
Lack of and too much.
And that's a good point.
At some point, I think at sometimes he thinks, okay, I can do this. And I'm going to fit that ball in there, right?
I thought that about Romo quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, and also you also have to factor in how the game's going. Because if you see you're not doing much and they're doing a lot, well, now I got to take a chance because I can't sit here and keep punting, right? And you would like to think, okay, you know, like McCarthy said, I would like – every one of our possessions to end with a kick, meaning an extra point, field goal, or a punt, not a turnover. And sometimes quarterbacks, and I know Tony Romo's told me this. He goes, you know, if it's 3rd and 12 and we're down 2 touchdowns, I'm not checking down. I'm going to try to fit the ball in. Because we're falling behind fast. So I think there's some, from a quarterback standpoint, kind of that attitude, judging how the game's going and what I need to do. And I think, the further you fall behind, the more chances you start taking, which is maybe not a good thing, but that's kind of punting's not doing me any good when the defense is not stopping them. So. I don't think it's a lack of confidence. I think maybe at times too much confidence that I can do this, and maybe like the second interception, you know, just throw that ball away because no, you can't do that one. Just a bad decision. Now the first one, when you're getting wiped out and trying to throw deep, then the decision has to be: am I better off just taking the sack, or am I gonna, you know, try to complete this pass? And you got to judge down and distance and what down it is, and you know, who am I throwing it to, by the way.
Hey, Kevin, how many interceptions did Troy Aikman have that year at this time?
Ooh, that I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said he had the same amount or a number.
No, like I just know they had 3 straight games with multiple interceptions. I don't know the total.
In that time, he only had 2 touchdowns. So we'll point that out. So he only.
So you're calling Super Bowl two?
Yeah. He was 23-14 for touchdowns and interceptions that year. So that was an interesting year.
And interceptions have changed over the years, by the
for
way.
Sure.
Because if you go back and look at Meredith and Staubach, you'll probably be sitting there with your mouth wide open going, oh, really?
These guys?
Yeah.
What do you think the plan is going to be at running back? Since Dowdle was sick, Will he be back in action, or
is I would think so. I mean, it was a high fever, so you would hope by now that has calmed down. It might have even calmed down by the start of the game, taking whatever medication they probably gave him. But again, you got to make that decision 90 minutes before for the actives and inactives, and you know they decided that no, because what if we keep him active and we. You know, and then he can't go and the next running back gets hurt. Now we're down to one. I think he should be back. So I would assume he's back number one, Zeke's two, and they'll go with the plan that they were going to have last week. And Cook will be three and Deuce Vaughn will be inactive.
I know we've talked about the offensive line. And I want you to know for the record, I don't dispute that whatsoever. My question is for you, if the offensive line can and does get better, creates better holes, turns it around, do you feel like the Cowboys have the backs to take advantage of that?
Yeah, I think so. I always thought Rico Dowdle could do that. But, you know, it just seems like too many times they end up trying to run through a brick wall and not knocking it down. I think that... If they do a better job, creating holes in the running game, and also I don't know that if it's the timing of runs or design of runs or how they're trying to do it, but to me, just watching I just don't see a lot of space to run through, and for sure they're not really getting to the second level in the run game. And I was always thought that was one thing that they could be proficient at, especially with Tyler Smith and the way Beebe played in college. He was really good at getting to the second level. Now, he didn't have take the responsibility of snapping the ball.
Right.
I don't know how that affects things, but I thought those guys and Zach Martin were really good at that. And, you know, run blocking was one of the things that Terrence Steele was good at. I always thought he was, average to good at pass blocking, but I thought that was not one of his best traits. His run blocking was good. So if they can just get back to that, and we were talking about it on our podcast yesterday, and Nate and Bill were criticizing them for starting the second half with run or pass, and they got away from the run, and they really did.
Yep.
But again, do you get away from it because you're worried you're not getting there, or that you're falling behind? But I guess if you pass, and it's incomplete, you take the chance of falling further behind.
True.
Especially when you throw an interception on the next possession.
That is a fact right there. We were discussing this a little bit earlier on the Deron Bland front.
Mm-hmm.
Is that more serious than we think it is?
Well, it's going to be longer. He had a fractured fifth metatarsal that they did surgery on, remember?
Yes.
And they put a plate in there with screws. So just kind of let that sink in. And he was back running, practicing. And practicing fully too, by the way, and then woke up and his foot was sore. So I don't know if that's, general what might happen after you've been out that long and you had surgery and then you go and work it and then it gets a little sore. It's one thing to work it doing all the drills and rehab stuff, but it's another thing to go out there and actually play, right? He was out there on the cords last week and he seemed to be moving really well. Now it's a matter of not, depending on premeditated steps. Now you're playing football and you got to do different things and cut and, whatever, and run full speed and you see how it turns out. So be interested to see if they get him back into practice this week. And, it's the same thing with Micah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been out this long and then, okay, I practice, but that doesn't mean you're ready to play. And you got to see how they react to it. So, I think Bland's close. I don't know about Micah.
Mickey, can I
still see him rehabbing.
Mickey, when you talk about practicing, help me out here, because it feels like the Cowboys never, in a way, really practice. So you say he has to practice, but they're not really running like 20 snaps at full speed. So help me out when you say he needs to practice when most practices are kind of more of a walkthrough situation.
No, they're not. No, they're not a walkthrough. They're full speed, but you're just not tackling. And so, you know, Thursdays they put the pads on and you know, and it's football other than tackling. So, you know, you're out there, you're running through holes. You've got to cover receivers deep. You don't know what they're actually doing. So now a little bit of it, when the scout team's out there, you know, you're running the other team's plays, but you're still, covering especially, and they have some compete periods where it's first against first too. But again, you're not tackling. So if that, you know, constitutes a walkthrough, then, you know, okay, that's fine. But, I mean, they're really running, and so you got to be able to do that stuff on Wednesday and especially on Thursday when the pads come on. But yeah, they're not playing football.
It's better than I thought, to be honest.
Yes, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, out there brother-lawing, right? And that used to go on during training camp back in the 90s. It's like, you know, the offensive lineman lines up against the starting defensive tackle. How are you today? Well, yeah, let's take
okay.
it easy, right? They would do that stuff. I know they would. And so don't make me look bad, all right? And so, yeah, but no, they're practicing. They're just not tackling. And it's league-wide, Mike. That's the way
it goes on,
right? There's no tackling because you can't afford to get somebody hurt in practice with a salary cap the way it is. And, you know, I mean, that's what happened to, if I got it remember right, to Trayvon Diggs last year. You know, he was practicing and tore his ACL. And that's the last thing you want to do. And by the way, his brother tore his ACL, right?
Yes.
You think he went on his phone to try to see what happened to him?
I don't know. I heard Mike Leslie can rile some folks up.
Yeah. But he wouldn't have known that unless he was on his phone, right?
Sure.
And he probably went on his phone to check his brother and saw everybody tweeting him saying, hey, did you see what was said about you?
Yeah.
And, you know, because I've heard the criticism. What are you doing on your phone after you get your ass beat?
Ooh.
Well, maybe he was checking on his brother who tore his ACL.
Maybe.
It's a good question.
Yeah. And maybe you should ask him before you assume.
We thought we were going to get to interview him in training camp. We got to talk to Trayvon Diggs for like an extended amount of time last summer.
Yeah, it was like 22 minutes.
It was awesome. I would love the chance to talk with him again. Absolutely.
Yeah, he may not talk to anybody anymore.
Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Sure thing. See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105 Through the Fan. All right. I wanted to see if we can squeeze in two more basketball questions for you because I had a couple more. All right. First question, we've had him on the show. What the hell is Tyrese Maxey supposed to do this year? Like, if his
play basketball,
if okay, with who?
Just who?
Because he's averaging 31 points a game.
Is Tobias Harris still there?
Jimmy Butler once beat all of Minnesota's starters. Okay, with a bunch of backups.
That was in a pickup game, but that is true, or a practice game. But he's scoring at an unbelievable rate out of necessity because the people who are going to be around him are not there. What's he going to do this year?
I guess make the all-star team because of his numbers.
Probably.
I don't know. I don't think, like I said, I think Joel Embiid's going to have a very Amari Stoudemire career with being better in his prime than Amari, but by 32 years old, I need to check how old he is right now. I think his career is going to be over, like literally retired. His knees and hips and everything are going to be completely and totally done. And then we know about Paul George because we play him almost every year in the playoffs. We know how hurt he can be throughout a season, and then you just hope that he's at 100%.
By the way, Joel Embiid's 30.
Okay, so I think he has about two more years left, maybe three, and then his career's over.
Now, one more question I had for you guys. Does it look early on like the Bucks figured out nothing in the offseason? Because, you know, we talked about, like, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I know it's only been a few games, but they kind of still look lost a little bit.
I mean, well, when you have Doc as your head coach. Well,
that's going to happen.
That could be the thing, too, is when you have Giannis one step in Dallas.
He's not...
A while back, I heard Giannis is heading to Dallas.
Yeah, and he came here just like 2 weeks ago.
That was for a game. He'll be in Dallas for games. He will not be on the Dallas Mavericks next year.
82 games?
You don't know that.
I do know that.
I do know that he won't be here next year.
See?
It's the next year.
Okay. Oh, wow, Corey, putting it out there.
All right.
What if he likes his visit? What if he came here and he was like, you know what? Dallas is pretty cool.
Why did they hire Doc Rivers?
Because they didn't care about winning.
Did they know Adrian Griffin's son was going to quit?
Man, that is a good question. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Emmy Award winner, DraftKings Network NFL analyst Trey Wingo here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Emmy Award winner, DraftKings Network NFL analyst. It is the great Trey Wingo. Good morning, sir.
Oh, good to be with you guys. Shout out to my people in the DFW area, Haji, Seshi, Joey, Bryce, and BBs. How are we?
I think they're doing well. I'm sure they are now that you're here. I have two non-Cowboys questions before we get started. First off, how is DraftKings treating you? And also, how much have you been enjoying all the Dwayne Wade statue memes that have come out?
First of all, the people at DraftKings are wonderful, and not because they're listening at the moment. They've been great. I've enjoyed every second of my time with them. And I think my favorite favorite Dwayne Wade meme is the one where he's the frozen Han Solo in The Empire Strikes.
Yes.
That was by far my favorite. But I do find it interesting that somehow we found a sculptor who could turn a really good-looking young African-American man into a 73-year-old white guy named Manny who plays shuffleboard in Miami.
Did you see the sculptor came out again yesterday and the day before? He's like, that's the best I could do. That's the best anybody could do at that.
Bro, that's like Anthony Richardson saying, I was tired and I need to come out. Sometimes lie. Don't say that's the best you can do. Because if that's the best you can do, you need to find another job.
Are you surprised at all that at least for the week, Richardson is getting benched? I know people have discussed like experience versus winning now.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not surprised at all. Listen, don't take my word for it. By the way, he's not benched this week. Shane Steichen said today it's going forward.
Oh, okay.
So there's a couple of things that people need to understand, because people are like, well, how are you ever going to develop him and all that kind of stuff? There are certain things you can do, and there's certain things you can't do if you're the quarterback. Okay, listen to all the former players. Don't take my word for it. Listen to all the pundits, whether it's on ESPN, Fox, The Athletic, all these people. The thing you can't say in the NFL, man, I was tired. Look at the offensive line, who are out there banging against 300-pound defensive linemen, speed guys coming around the edge. They're trying to protect your ass the best they can, and you tap out because you're tired at 22? Now, this is the guy, remember, this was the quarterback that was supposed to be the strongest, most athletic, fastest, explosive quarterback we've ever seen. Well, maybe, but his conditioning is for bleep if he was tired. Like, you can't do that. Like, Chase Daniel said it best when – they played the clip on his podcast with Diana Rossini and Scoot City. He's like, I was tired. I'm not going to lie to you. And the cut to Chase and said, lie to the media. Don't ever say that again. You have lost the respect of every current and former football player that has ever played in the NFL. You just don't do it. You just don't say it. And what makes it worse, guys, is not that he said it. He didn't understand how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know what you don't know, that's the biggest issue. It's like the Cowboys running game, right? We all know it's bad. Yep. But an offense to function needs to be like two clavicles. A clavicle is not one bone. It is two bones. There's the clavicle for the passing game, the clavicle for the running game. You got to have those things in unison. And when Brock Purdy outrushes your entire team, you've got clavicle problems in Dallas.
We tried to ask about that, and we got yelled at. So you know how it goes.
Of course you did. You know how that goes, of course. They don't want to talk about that stuff.
Hey, Trey, in your history, have you – whenever teams, players, owners start lashing out at media, are they lashing out at the wrong people, and who should they be taking that out on?
Themselves?
Mm.
I mean, yes, they are lashing out the wrong people. Now, you know, you can question whether or not what's-his-face from WFNA should have engaged with Diggs after the game like that. But by the way, this Diggs ain't the first defensive back in the history of the NFL that made a business decision.
Yep.
Yeah, that happens all the time, let's be clear. You can go back and look at tape of really great corners that like to intercept and break up passes, a lot of them really aren't interested in tackling. Okay, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. Okay, that happens all the time. But when Jerry's lashing out at people for questions, that means he doesn't want to be questioned. And that means he knows that this team stinks right now. Okay? They're no good. And he don't want to hear about that. All he wants to hear about is all the wonderful things he's done for the Cowboys over the years and all this kind of stuff. When they lash out like that, they really are upset with themselves because they have put themselves in this predicament. And when you brought back Mike McCarthy after that disastrous showing against the Packers, where so many people watching are like, yeah, I'd really like to just take myself out right now after watching that as a Cowboy fan. That's a problem. That's the problem right there.
I've been struggling with this, trying to figure this one out. If you had a way to compare the Lions to a team of the past, do you have a comp for what they are? Because they have so many, they have a unique group of skills that they can do with so many different players.
Well, they are fascinating because they can, like Bill Belichick used to say, when the Patriots were the Patriots, guys, we can win a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And the Lions can beat you a lot of different ways. They have a good defense despite losing Aiden Hutchinson. You know, they have a great running game. They have a quarterback in Jared Goff who's been on fire. It's like, you know, when you're playing golf, you want to make a birdie because birdie is great. You want to make a birdie on every hole. They feel like they can make a birdie on every hole.
Yep.
Okay? That's sort of the way they're running. And I'm trying to think of a team. I mean, like, just so people understand historically what we're seeing from the Lions. Over the last five games, they have more touchdowns than incompletions.
Wow. Like,
that's a ridiculous thing. They went into the game against the Titans, the first team since the 59-60 Browns to have more touchdowns than incompletions over a four-game stretch. And I have to look the research. I don't know if anybody's done it over a five-game stretch. I mean, on Sunday, they had five touchdowns and two incompletions. Ugh. Like, that's a ridiculous thing. And Jared Goff should be in the MVP consideration, but they won in a blowout when he was 6 of 8. Like, 6 of 8, guys.
Does that make you excited to see what fantastic new way the Lions will figure out to still not make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I love Dan Campbell, and I want him to succeed because I love guys that are different and do it a different way. But I bet in quiet moments in the offseason, he's like, man, I should have kicked some of those field goals when we were up to the 49ers. The one thing I hope he learned, because a lot of teams do this, guys, and you know this, well, that's who we are. We're going to be who we are. No, what you want to be is whatever it takes to win, like to throw it back to the Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson, sidelines, NFC Championship game, 1992. They're in Candlestick Park. The 49ers have just scored to cut it to a four-point lead, 24-20. Jimmy goes to Norv Turner. They start deciding what call they want to play. Jimmy's response to Norv was, do whatever necessary to win the game. A lot of people would have run the clock in that situation, right? They would have tried to take some time off the clock and milk it and just hang on. Jimmy and Norv said, F it. Let's throw it to Alvin deep, and he ran for 60-plus yards, setting up the go-ahead touchdown by Kelvin Martin to seal the Cowboys back in Super Bowl 27. So,
hey, are you running for 60-plus yards right now?
On the golf course, baby, pushing a cart up.
Okay.
Birdie's the best. I told you, birdie's the best. I'm trying to make birdie.
That's why birdies were on his mind.
All right.
Hey, Trey, this morning I was at the gym and I'm watching The Comeback, the documentary on Boston and New York and everything. And there you are talking about the A-Rod trade. And I was like, holy crap, we're going to talk to him here in just a little bit. When stuff like that happens, is there a different buzz, like a different energy, like those kind of moments whenever you get to break that kind of news?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, like, yeah, that is – first of all, there's nothing better, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way as long as you guys have been in it. When you're talking about something that's happening in real time, whether it's news like that or you're covering a live game, that's always way more fun than, okay, this happened. How are we going to talk about it and formulate it and package it? No, when it's happening in the moment, like that's what made the draft so much fun.
Yeah.
Like I always say, the draft is the ultimate reality television show because all reality TV is crap. The cameras are everywhere. It's staged and all that kind of stuff. We go into the draft. We don't have a clue what's going to happen. Like, you know how much money I could have made before the 2016 draft if I could have said, hey, there's this guy from Mississippi. He's top offensive lineman in the draft. I bet you $1,000 right before he's drafted, there's going to be video of him smoking weed out of a gas mask bong from the state of college. Like, well, that'll never happen. And that's exactly what happened. That's what makes the draft great.
I do remember that. I probably would have thought that's what was, yeah. I probably would have thought that's what you did to come up with that betting idea. But that is a great point. Now, we've talked about this, and I know Dak usually says the right things. He's not going to come out and be like, "Oh yeah, we're screwed. What are we supposed to do?" He says the season is still in front of them. Everything is still in their control. How much longer does that last? Because I see his point, but they feel dangerously close to it's over.
Well, the good news from Dak's perspective is the only 7 games on it, 10 games left to play, right? That's the long game. But the reality is, until they can win a home game and stop giving up 4,000 points in a home game, no one's going to believe them. Like, the good news is for the this week they're playing the Falcons on the road. Bad news is that guy, Kirk Cousins, can shred a lot of secondaries, and the Cowboys' secondary looks like it's ready to be shred yet again.
Yeah. Well, outstanding stuff. We hope the round pays off for you, and we will talk with you again soon, good sir.
You've got to keep my clavicles connected to try and make birdie.
There you go.
All right. Good luck. Ladies and gentlemen, there's Trey Wingo right here on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, it sounds like he's amped up for his golf game, right?
I will say this. I don't think I've ever had an interview from the golf course that has gone as well as that one did. Every time we've ever interviewed anybody that's been on the golf course, they're so distracted by their shot.
Was it Kavanaugh that we talked to on the golf course once?
I was there. It was so awesome.
I think you called in afterwards, and you're like, "This was so great." Just
he's in the bunker, puts his phone down in the bunker, and I think on his third swing, he finally gets the ball out. So he's just, "Nope, that one didn't get out," you know. And then he did it again. And then finally, on the third one, he gets out of the bunker and just killing his score. I think sand is going on his phone.
Oh my God, when you hit, it goes everywhere.
A lot of sand. You have to smoke the sand to get the ball. You're not hitting the ball. You're hitting the sand behind the ball.
Okay.
And I know that there's more to it. But
the first time I was ever in a sand trap, my buddy just said, hit the sand as hard as you can.
And follow through. Yeah. Do not stop once you hit the sand, and it will get out. But it was just one of the best moments ever as he is playing golf. And we had a random dude playing with us. It was Gavin, Jeff, and I, and a random dude. Because to keep public courses going, they need pretty much 3 to 4 people playing. And they added, this guy was an extra, so they added him to us three. We had a spot open. And, I mean, that guy was probably like, who the crap am I playing with?
But around here, everybody would be like, you know what? This is a good bunch.
See, I actually think that might be the exact same feeling that next year Will Venable is going to experience. Because I have to admit, I was stunned when I saw last night that he was taking the White Sox job. So is he going to be like, who the crap am I playing with next year?
Maybe. But it's an opportunity to be a manager. It doesn't mean you have to take it, but it's an opportunity to be, you know, on that ground floor of building a team. And I think that, you know, he got really good insight on how to win a championship while he was here with Boach and how to manage that too.
I was surprised just because I assumed all along that it was like, hey, set up, you're the manager in waiting. It's going to be another year or two or whatever. And maybe that was the case. Or maybe he was like, Boach has got that itch, so I need to take the shot while I've got it. I have no idea.
I think I won't say stupid. That's too strong of a word. So I'm saying it without like, hey, that's too strong of a word. Sometimes you wait along for a job that's kind of promised to you, and then that job becomes available, and they're like, yeah, well, we're going to interview other people. One of the reasons you could retire after winning the World Series, that would be an easy transition. But like, what if I interview somebody else? I think it was smart by Will. 30 jobs. I know that's a tough job. The thing is I think he gets that job for a minimum of 2 years. Like, it doesn't matter if they lose 100 games next year. He gets to keep the job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because he's going to literally the worst team in the history of baseball. So
that is tough.
He has to hope. He has to hope that the trades with Dylan Cease that they made recently, supposedly they're going to trade Luis Robert this offseason, maybe make a few other trades. Jack Flaherty, he was from Detroit, but a couple of other trades they made, that they have talent that 2 to 3 years from now, makes sense for them to compete.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
In the toughest division yes. in the American League.
Yes. Now. Right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where we power rank the quarterback power rankings right here on The Fan.
Fourth and a long yard. Two for the touchdown. Goff looking to throw. Throws back to the end zone. Touchdown Detroit again. They're 3 for 3.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, as we just talked about with Trey Wingo, Shane Steichen said Joe Flacco is our quarterback going forward. Because yesterday it sounded like, at least I interpreted as a week-by-week scenario. Now it sounds like he's like, maybe not.
You know what that means to me? Michael Pittman is making his way back into my fantasy lineup because whenever Anthony Richardson in, he doesn't look at Pittman. Whenever Joe Flacco's in, he's like, hey, that's my dude.
Does this mic change your mind about Trevor Lawrence cutting his hair because Anthony Richardson cut his hair and it did not appear to make a positive impact?
It's a good question.
Is it?
I don't care about Anthony Richardson.
Oh, burn.
He doesn't even know how to write his name.
Just because his signature is weak doesn't mean he doesn't know how to write his name.
My opinion, theory, if you just make a mark, if you're watching on YouTube, and that's your autograph for Anthony Richardson,
it's just essentially an A.
And like a bad A, like I made almost a triangle, I almost got to that point. It shows how lazy you are. How much you don't care about your own name? How much you respect
Maddox do like
yourself?
Three squiggly lines.
It's
or something?
A weird. It's two weird squiggly lines. Shut up.
But really undercuts his point, right?
At
there.
Least he made squiggly lines.
Greg Maddox doesn't know his own name.
There's Greg Maddox. Which one?
I just it copied looks like a heart monitor.
That is
Greg Maddox
effort.
Looks like a heart monitor.
He did two heart monitors for his autograph, and he's pretty consistent with that.
Shut up.
I'm just telling you, Anthony Richardson does not care about his name, does not care about his reputation, and we're seeing it play out on the football field.
Now, the next quarterback up for the Dallas Cowboys is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, going 23 of 29 for 276 yards and four touchdowns in the 31-26 win that bumped the Falcons up to 5-3 when they defeated the Bucs.
Did Here We Go Dak get the NFC Player of the Week for fourth quarters?
He did not. I don't believe
they held it against him the 3-minute drive.
That is an award.
What about the other two drives?
I don't believe that fourth quarter of the week is an award. I will look into that
Dude,
further.
We should start that as an award.
Dak would have won it against the Ravens and the 49ers.
Yeah. Right. And against Green Bay last year.
Not against Detroit.
Would you rather me follow up about creating that award?
Yes.
Or following up with Trey Wingo, as somebody suggested, and seeing if he'll come to Dallas and do a round of golf with somebody for a piece-a-thon auction.
Yes. All right. Kevin, forget the whole fourth quarter award. Let's go with Wingo.
All right.
What course? Dude, never mind. I got an idea.
Okay. I was also going to say, if you ever wanted to hang out with the Von Erichs at their ranch and celebrate Christmas with them, we're going to have a package for that during Peace-a-thon as well.
Very cool.
All right. Let's power rank.
Did celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's Kla-la-la-la-la at the, I swear to God, if you hate that, don't hate me. All right, I think it's clever. I also did not write it. It's going to be at the Von Erich Ranch.
I think it's awesome.
We're going to have it hooked up. All right, the worst quarterbacks in all of the league. We'll get to the best. Who are the worst?
Anthony Richardson's off the list, right?
Daniel Jones.
That is true. Daniel Jones, only 29. Although, to be fair, 32 is Mason Rudolph, so I know that's a sub right there.
Okay, is it Bryce Young or Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton is number 31 on the list.
He's really dropped off since his 5-6 year with the Cowboys.
Is Jordan Love's out? So Malik Willis?
Malik Willis All he does is win, Corey.
Yeah, but
How long is Jordan Love?
And not throw the throw up ball.
Did I miss this? I miss this.
Jordan Love groin. Yeah, I don't know exactly how long.
Growing. Corey is afraid of saying groin on air.
Growing.
So Malik Willis is 27.
I just try to clog up my nose when I do it. Groin. Groin. Groin.
You know what's weird? He didn't actually close his nose or anything. No, he just made that noise.
Yeah. Groin.
Here are the bottom six quarterbacks. Tell me if you think they'll all be in the Hall of Fame. Malik Willis.
Yes.
In.
Aaron Rodgers.
There's a Willis that's a linebacker.
Daniel Jones. Gardner Minshew. Andy Dalton and Mason Rudolph. Aaron Rodgers is in that group.
I'm dead serious, man. I get it. He can't. It's Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods knows how to play golf better than anybody out there. His body cannot allow him to play golf the way that he wants to. And when Aaron Rodgers drops back, the speed of getting into his drop back is slower. When Aaron Rodgers decides, oh, crap, it's time to take off running, he's slower. All the things that he used to be able to do very well are failing him at the moment.
Now, who do
and
you...
And he's blaming everybody else for it, too.
Oh, much like Tiger Woods did.
Yep.
It's not my fault I took those medications right before I decided to drive. All right. Who are the top quarterbacks in football? Who's number one?
It's either Josh Allen or Lamar.
One of those is correct.
Is it first and second?
That is correct.
I'll go with Josh Allen. They have the better record and they won.
Sounds like a deal.
That's what I think, too. However, CBS says, I scoff at your notion.
He sets us up for failure.
And they,
we ought to just leave.
Yeah, because you never do that to me. Did you hear the star segment yesterday? Lamar Jackson is number one.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is
even
two.
What I said. It was
yes,
so good.
I'm sure you did.
The most accurate passer in the NFL has to be number three. That is Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
Good guess.
Number three. And
I feel like Goff has a real chance to be number one.
And Trey Wingo is talking about him being in the MVP conversation. I think he is not like maybe Sam Darnold early on. He was in the MVP conversation, but you're like, I don't know. Like, I think Jared Goff is like an honest-to-goodness live MVP contender.
Yeah, they're a good team, man.
All right, so you guys got 1, 2, 3, Jackson, Allen, Goff. Can you give me the rest of the top five?
I'm going to stick with Hail Mary, Jaden Daniels.
Dang.
Jaden Daniels is number four on the list.
It is. Has C.J. Stroud taken a hit lately? I mean, that was who he came to mind.
That is interesting.
I think that would probably be fair to say.
That he took a hit? Yes. Okay, then. Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy is six. Wedged in between them, their team is
Joe Burrow
starting
again?
To make
oh,
a move.
Yeah, Joe Burrow. I keep forgetting.
They lost by 20, though.
Joe Burrow. That's true. His team was starting to make a move before last week. They only dropped in one spot. They love CBS is in love with his statistics.
I'm like, why not love Patrick Mahomes that much for his history?
I'm not here
undefeated.
To argue that with you. I agree with
you. If we're going
to
put Burrow up there, I just don't understand because, look, Mahomes to me is still the guy you're scared to death of. Out of all these quarterbacks we name, give him the ball with 3 minutes to go, like you gave Dak the ball, and you're like, we're going to lose.
Well, think about this. C.J. Stroud is 13. So Burrow right now is 5. Stroud is 13. Where do you put Dak Prescott? Because we talked about how the team,
at this point,
slid.
At this point, I am going to put him at 20, and maybe I'm too bad on that, but
The Cowboys were 22 yesterday.
Yeah.
And 20, like as bad as 25 on one of them.
Yeah.
I just can't remember the.
Yeah, 20 sounds good.
Okay. Number 20 on the list is Russell Wilson.
Oh, crap.
Would you put Dak ahead or behind Russell Wilson?
I still think 21. Dak's better.
Okay.
I still think Dak's better.
Number 19 is Dak Prescott.
Okay.
So 18 is Tua, 19 is Dak, and 20 is Russell Wilson. So that's the group he's in right now. Does that feel fair?
Yes, 1,000% fair. I mean, that's exactly where the team is. He's not playing at his best right now. There are lots of reasons why he's not playing at his best. And somebody said he's trash. Look, man, when he has time, he's not trash. He's actually pretty good.
Would you agree with this? I'm asking a football question. He's not as good as last year.
No.
That was a fluke of an MVP vote.
For sure.
He's not this bad.
No,
I agree with that.
Yeah, he's somewhere in between and probably a little higher end than just middle in between.
Yeah, I could see that. The Vikings made the trade for Cam Robinson. They gave up a conditional 2026 pick. That's a seventh rounder. However, it could go up and the Jags get a conditional fifth rounder that can become a fourth rounder. So, you know, you essentially jump up two rounds to pick up Cam Robinson, probably a savvy move for the Vikings. Less savvy. Prosecutors are reviewing why Jameson Williams, got it, took me a second, did not get arrested on a concealed weapons charge. I believe at the beginning of the month, October 8th, it was a traffic stop. They found a concealed weapon and they're like, you're good. And the Detroit Police Department has said the investigation, quote, continues to evolve as new information comes to light.
Look, the Lions are good this year, guys.
Hold on. Are you saying that's the information that's evolving?
Yeah. They keep that record going.
Wow.
We'll turn our head to a lot of things.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting indeed. And then I wanted to throw this out there. The Falcons are 4-0 against South opponents this year in their division. They only have the Saints left on the road and the Panthers at home. It feels like you should go at least 5-1.
I'm with you on
in
that.
Division, and
they can spare this Cowboys game. Then
the Falcons are in trouble this Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, I don't think you're totally joking about that.
I'm gonna pick the Cowboys to win. You know why? Because this is where the Cowboys. It feels hopeless. Everybody's quitting on the Cowboys, and they win just enough to keep you around.
Mike's right about that.
That's how it feels like at this point, is that they're going to win one of the next two games to keep you caring.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happens.
Think it'll happen.
I know, like the scripts are, they're not already predetermined, but I feel like there's some sort of script written that keeps the Cowboys relevant enough for the fans to care, but not good enough for them to ever be a contender.
Cowboys will add Deron Bland to the 53-man roster today with his practice window closing. You know what, they have to make a corresponding roster move, perhaps.
Who's going to get sick on Sunday afternoon?
With his practice window closing is interesting. Hey, I hadn't thought about that.
Real quick, I know we're out of time.
Are we?
If the dude has the flu, if the dude is so sick he can't play, why is he around the team? Why is he on the team plane? How come nobody else has gotten sick off of this? The flu is very contagious.
Because you don't think
I think it's all
out.
Fake. Okay. That is all fake. There's no way he would be out signing autographs before the game. There would be no reason to put him on the team plane. Like, you would do whatever you can.
To what end? Like, what is the advantage of doing that?
To faking it?
Yeah.
Because you need to come up with something fake to activate Cook.
Okay.
He's not hurt. This happens all the time in sports. I guess behind the scenes, people don't understand this.
Fake injuries happen all the time.
And it's kind of an agreed upon deal. Hey, you're still going to get paid your money. Don't this and that. But yeah, that was all fake. And you can't come out and say, yeah, it was fake. We needed to activate Cook.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, programming update. It looks like we're going to have tennis player, pickleball player, social media star extraordinaire Jeannie Bouchard joining the program at 1:15. But coming up next, is there anything that can be done to fix this crushing Cowboys fault? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.